Now it's been 10 years since the Great Recession started and a long recovery process along the way. By some measures, the workforce has recovered at a national level, but it's a more complicated story than the unemployment numbers might tell us. According to the Pew Research Center, the workforce is older, it's more diverse, and a lower percentage of the population is working. Some areas have seen economic booms, some still haven't really recovered at all. And for people who don't have a job, it's gotten harder to get back into the job market. Steve Deller is with us now. He's a professor of agricultural and applied economics at the UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year.
Well, what do you see as, Happy New Year to you too, as we hit 2018, what do you see as the biggest long-term impacts of the Great Recession?
I think that the biggest impact right now is going to be the kind of the widening of the labor demand between those that have skills and education and those that really don't require skills and education. And I think that there's going to be a continued widening gap there.
Right. And I want to talk about that a little, looking at middle class workers, in particular, middle skill workers. That Pew report I just mentioned a few moments ago, a little more information from that, found those kind of jobs had been disappearing to some extent before the Great Recession. The Great Recession accelerated that. So we're seeing more and more polarization, jobs at the top end, jobs at the lower end, not so much in the middle. So Steve, what do you see there?
I think you're right. I think it's the we've been following a widening income gap. And a lot of times we talk about that as the rich getting richer, the 1%. But I think that what's really driving a lot of this is that hollowing out of the middle class, is that a lot of the job growth is either at the higher end or at the lower end. And those jobs that are in the middle are becoming more difficult to find. And the I think there's a lot of frustration because it's becoming really obvious after the end of the Great Recession that a lot of those kind of traditional middle class jobs are kind of slowly going away.
And I want to talk about some of the fallout from what was happening during the Great Recession. A lot of people maybe at a lower middle income level, maybe all their money was tied up in their house, which they lost to foreclosure. Maybe they lost a couple years off the job market with the skill development that would be bringing them, the savings they weren't getting. Even if the recession is completely over and they're back to the job they had or something like it beforehand, that's a lost couple few years there for them.
It is. And you have to realize that a lot of folks, particularly some of the baby boomers, found that their retirement funds were basically wiped out. And that, and if you wipe out your retirement fund and you find out that your house is underwater, your mortgage is bigger than what the house is. I mean, that's a real kind of emotional kick. So even if now 10 years later, you've been able to crawl your way back, that's almost a lost decade of really kind of being kicked while you're down.
How does this break down regionally? I mentioned we have some areas where, man, the economy's booming. Things are doing great. It's hard to find a place to live because costs are going up so much. That's not the story, obviously, everywhere.
No, that's true. I mean, you look at Wisconsin, and there are certain pockets within Wisconsin that are doing very well. Madison and the Madison area is doing well. The Appleton, Fond du Lac kind of area is doing okay. Eau Claire is doing okay. But there are other parts of the state that are just not doing very much at all.
And this was something that was happening to some extent before the big recession, right? What did the recession do to maybe accelerate that?
I think it brought it more home in terms of what the engine of economic growth in the state of Wisconsin is. And nationally, it's not just Wisconsin, but it's nationally. I think that we kind of been so dependent on manufacturing in this state as kind of that engine that, you know, it got hit really hard in the Great Recession. And it still hasn't come back completely. I mean, you do have pockets in the manufacturing sector that are doing okay. But a lot of the growth has not been related to what we call goods producing. It's not in manufacturing. It's not in agriculture. It's in computer software, information sciences, information services, things like that. That's where a lot of the job growth is going. But Wisconsin, outside of places like Madison, there isn't a whole lot of that kind of activity going on.
Let's stay with manufacturing for a minute, because that's politically what gets talked about the most. At the state level, at the national level, can we bring manufacturing jobs back? But some manufacturing jobs got automated, especially, as I understand it, during the recession. Even if the manufacturing industry is doing well, does that mean manufacturing jobs are going to be out there?
The types of jobs are changing. I think the net number of jobs in manufacturing is going to stay relatively stable. And I think that that's because you're seeing two things that are going on. One is you're seeing a lot of lower skilled routine type manufacturing jobs being replaced with automation. And I think that's a lot of the middle class jobs that are kind of disappearing. You know, I could barely get through high school and get a job at a manufacturing plant making good, decent middle income wages. Those kind of jobs are disappearing. So within manufacturing, you're seeing the shift towards higher skilled. Rather than having a lot of medium skilled to low skilled workers on the assembly line, you're seeing those replaced with automation. And now you need some type of engineering degree, an associate's degree, maybe a bachelor's degree, to basically keep that equipment running.
Talking to Steve Deller from UW-Madison, looking at the long-term impacts of the Great Recession about 10 years after it started. And one thing in that Pew report we mentioned earlier, Steve, there's a bigger penalty for not having a job. Being unemployed more and more seems like it's making it harder to get back into the job market. What's happening there?
Part of that is the marketability. If I'm going into the job market, and I'm competing with, say, four other people, and four other people have been actively in the job market, and I have been, there's a big gaping hole on my resume, it's going to stand out like a sore thumb. So if I'm an employer and I'm looking at people that have had continuous employment streams and those that have been out of the labor market for a while, guess who I'm going to go with? So it's kind of a catch-22. If you can't find a job and you leave the labor market and you do some type of, say, self-employment as a stopgap, when you go back into the labor market, it looks like you haven't been doing anything for a few years, and that looks bad on your resume.
And there's been talk also about what the economists call labor force participation. That means how many people of job-having age are actually out there in a job or actually seeking a job. Sounds like that's lower. There are more people who potentially could be working but who aren't.
Well, that's partially the aging of the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. It's partially the demographics of a lower pool of people that are, say, leaving high school age and maybe doing a couple of years of college and then entering the labor market. That pool of workers getting smaller. That's one of the reasons the two-year campuses for the UW got shifted around. So you're seeing that kind of demographic occurring. But at the higher end, at the retirement, we're finding a phenomenon of folks that are deciding that they want to retire. They retire. They're retired for a couple of years, and they decide they want to go back to work. Those types of workers are really kind of throwing a curve into how we understand what's happening with the labor market.
Yeah, how do we account for that?
Why they're entering back in?
Or the impact that has then on the market down, or on the job market downstream?
Because some of them, it's happening in a couple of different ways. One way is that they're entering kind of low-skilled jobs just because they want a job. Mm-hmm. Think of the Walmart greeter that's, you know, it's not pressure. It gets them out. It gets them interacting with people. And then you also have a lot that are starting their own businesses. We're seeing a lot of kind of retirement entrepreneurship that's occurring. And again, what you're seeing is this bifurcation. You have retirees that are going back into the labor market because they want to work, and they're working maybe $10 an hour. It's fine. But how that's playing out in the long-term dynamics of the labor market is really kind of up in the air.
I want to get into rural Wisconsin a little bit. We see numbers, different numbers, showing that there are a lot of communities where jobs declined, haven't come back. You know, think of the towns with the paper mill that isn't there anymore. Are there prospects for economic comebacks for places like that?
I think it's going to hinge on commuting. I think that a lot of these rural communities that have very high quality of life is to realize that, you know, they're becoming bedroom communities now. We're seeing commuting distances expand tremendously. People are willing to commute great distances to work. So I think that if a lot of these communities, these smaller rural communities, kind of say, you know what, this is a great place to raise a family. This is a great place to live. By the way, there's this hub called Eau Claire, Appleton, what have you, that's within 50 miles. That's a reasonable commuting distance. And I think that's what a lot of these rural communities are going to be kind of moving towards.
I know some people in those communities, that's not the identity they want. They want a self-sufficient community with the local jobs, not just service jobs catering to the commuters who leave town.
That's exactly right. And that is a transition that I think a lot of communities are going to have a hard time coming to a realization, is that local employment is going to be service-based, local entrepreneurships, kind of servicing local residents, other local businesses. But the, you know, a major employer growing and expanding in a lot of these smaller communities is becoming much more difficult to do, particularly with manufacturing, because they're moving more and more and more towards automation.
We're talking to Steve Deller, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. We're looking at the long-term impact of the Great Recession in Wisconsin and around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. How did the big recession affect you? Are you still feeling it? Do you feel like you have had a recovery personally, regardless of what the nation as a whole is doing? Or are you still trying to catch up? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick this conversation up in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our discussion now about the Great Recession. It's been 10 years since it started in December 2007. The workforce now doesn't look like it used to. The economy as a whole has recovered, but there are a lot of asterisks, a lot of exceptions there. You can weigh in at 800-642-1234. What does 10 years out look like for you? Are you seeing some lasting financial effects? Was your job impacted? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll go to our callers. Tony is with us in Fenimore. Tony, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What was your story, Tony?
Actually, I got laid off in 2009. I was working for a basically a manufacturing company for windows and doors. And when I got laid off, I was making just about $10 an hour. And I decided to go back to school and ended up getting an associate's degree in mechanical design. And now I work for as a parts catalog author for John Deere. And so I make well over double what I made before the recession.
Tony, thanks a lot. Congratulations. I'm glad that that worked out for you after a rough start with that layoff. Thanks for that call. So, Steve, what do you think?
That's a success story. Mm-hmm. And I wish that we could point to more success stories like that. I think that a lot of times, I think folks that have the initiative, like Tony did, to say, you know, I need to improve myself. I need to go out there and be a little bit more proactive. I think those workers are going to be doing fairly okay in this recovery. They're doing okay. The ones that are more in a reactive mode, if you will, are going to have a more difficult time. I was talking with a person from Milwaukee County who is trying to get information on what's what we're calling a gap in soft skills, mm-hmm. soft job skills, and these are folks that they have a hard time showing up on time and whatnot, and that gap there is going to be getting worse over time.
There's going to be some differences, I imagine, if I'm laid off at 25 and I'm going to train for a new career. Okay, if I'm laid off at 55 and I'm going to train for a new career, and then their employers are going to look at me and say, do I want somebody who's just starting at that age, whether that's legal or not for them to think that it happens, we know.
It is. It's not legal to do that. Mm-hmm. But again, you're right. You're perfectly right. If I'm an employer and I'm looking at two people, one is 55 and has been out of the labor market for a couple of years, and another that's 25 and has said, well, I took some time off to go back to school, guess who I'm going to hire? Is that fair? No, but that's the way business operates.
Tony, thanks for that call. We'll go down next to Moira in Fontana. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for the show.
Good. What do you think?
I think you hit it with your statement about the lost decade. I'm a 54-year-old woman. And I used to have a phenomenal career and work dried up with the recession. And I have that 10 years gone where the earning, the savings, retirement, the house, it's all gone towards survival. And you know, the question, what do we do? I'll tell you what, your articulation of that problem is a godsend to even hear. I know there are a lot of us out there. I know there are a lot of us that have been wiped out. And I'm just wondering, is anybody measuring this? Is anybody getting ready for this wave?
Moira, thanks for that call. So a wave of people, she's in her mid-50s. They're going to be trying to retire, but a decade of no way to save for retirement, Steve.
It's essentially we used to talk about the Japanese lost decade. I think historically we're going to look back at this time period and say that this, for a large part of America, was a lost decade. They were, you know, a lot of folks were financially wiped out with the Great Recession, and they're just trying to rebuild, and they're trying to rebuild on jobs that pay less.
Thanks for that call, Moira. I want to share a couple comments from the Ideas Network Facebook page. Linda says she sold a house at 10% loss. Interest and 401k earnings have never replaced what was lost. And Shelley says disposable income now is less, expenses are more. Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Michael is with us in Milwaukee. Michael, hi.
Hi. I had mentioned to the screener that I worked, I'm 71 years old, I worked 40 years as a tool and die maker, worked at A. O. Smith Corporation, Tower Automotive. And, you know, when we worked back then, layoffs were a part of life. You know, maybe you'd get laid off 2 or 3 months out of a year, but you'd always get called back. Well, after this big recession, one thing that doesn't get mentioned is all the places where people used to work, they tore those factories down, Delphi, A. O. Smith Corporation, Briggs & Stratton. You go all over the city where there used to be factories, there's either empty lots or there's shopping centers. So the likelihood of people being called back and those jobs actually starting up again when the factories were torn down, the likelihood is pretty slim.
Michael, thanks for that call. Yeah, you have hope when you're laid off and the factory's still standing. You don't have hope of getting that job back when the factory's gone.
No, they're not. And the manufacturing jobs that are coming back on smaller scale, flexible manufacturing. The U.S. really can't compete with China and Southeast Asia when we're producing large scale commodity, what we call commodity goods. But we're Wisconsin manufacturing and U.S. manufacturing is that smaller scale custom type manufacturing. And those are not those big plants. Those are their smaller plants. And sometimes you don't even know it's a manufacturing facility that's in that particular industrial park. I think the other thing is that this in manufacturing is this kind of idea that you're going to get laid off every now and then. I think that the wages in manufacturing allow folks the flexibility of taking that time off. Indeed, a lot of workers in manufacturing will say, they're shutting down for 3 months, and I've got enough savings set aside. And, oh, by the way, I'm a member of the union, and the union can help me out here, is that I can ride that through. And that's not really possible much anymore.
Michael, thanks for that call. We're talking to Steve Deller, economist at UW-Madison, looking at the long-term impact of the Great Recession on the country, on Wisconsin, and on you. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Steve, reading some of the reporting on this, something I hadn't thought of as much, the Great Recession, the early couple years in particular, affecting people's credit ratings, especially if they were in one of those underwater mortgages they had to leave behind, lost a job. Well, now, credit ratings, 10 years later, can you get a house? Employers are looking at credit ratings sometimes for potential employees. This is another bit of lasting damage.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but I think you're exactly right. I mean, if you've basically had your house foreclosed on because it was underwater and it made perfect financial sense, you're in essence declaring bankruptcy. And you know what that does to your credit rating. You don't have a credit rating for at least 7 years. And again, you're getting employers that are looking at things like your credit rating. And if you have a poor credit rating, an employer is going to say, well, that's a signal that you may not be responsible, and that's going to put you down on the list of being hired. That may not be fair, but again, that's how firms look at this.
Another outcome of the Great Recession, again, in the Pew Research study, more inequality. It was already on the way up, but more so because of that. Why?
It's getting much stronger. We've been tracing the widening income gap for the last 30, 40 years, depending on which set of data you use. It kind of started in the late 1970s, early 1980s, at this widening income gap. And it's occurring on two ends. One is the super rich, the one percenters, the 0.1%ers, the super rich. They're getting really, really rich. That's pulling it off. But the other thing is that middle class type job is starting to hollow out. Before the Great Recession, you may have been an accountant making $50,000 an hour, which was a fair job, and you lost that. And now the best you can find is an assistant manager at a fast food restaurant making $25,000 a year. It's those types of jobs that are getting squeezed out, and it's making that widening income gap worse.
Steve, briefly, the stock market's looking great now. Are there lessons for the next recession in a nutshell?
If I knew the answer to that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be driving a brand new Ferrari on Wall Street. I'm waiting for the bubble to pop. But I think what's happening is that corporations are have so much cash on their hands that they're keeping the stock market or the stock prices inflated. There's really no place else for investors to go right now. As Linda mentioned, interest rates are so low. Where are you going to put your savings? In a CD that pays 0.5%, or are you going to put it into a mutual fund in the stock market? So there's a lot of things that are keeping it elevated, but I'm surprised it hasn't adjusted itself.
Steve, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Steve Deller, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, talking about the lasting impact of the Great Recession.